Welcome back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, where we give you the lowdown on what events and anniversaries are coming up in the week around the world. Please subscribe if you're not already and let us know in the comments what you think of the events that we talk about or even any events we may have missed. Now, Afshin, we better start, as always, with Monday, 22nd of July.
Always the best place.
Always Monday. Although not always the start of the week in some cultures it's Sunday, but for us it's Monday, 22nd of July, 2024. Now, I'm not sure, actually, whether it's going to be Monday or later in the week, this one, but Joe Biden is scheduled to, at some point, address the American people.
Why? What's he got to say? What's he got to say?
Something we clearly didn't predict, in that, although predictably, he has stepped down as the presidential election candidate.
We said he would definitely be going, didn't we?
Episode. Well, if you look at last week, subscribe, you'll be able to see what we said.
I think on a very early edition of Forecast News, we said definitely.
Maybe.
We said that the war in Europe would end, and the war on Gaza would end, and eventually all wars will end.
And therefore, he's got to go.
Yeah.
As a result.
Right.
I mean, it's certainly not surprising. Is it? I mean, it's only a matter of time. Although I think we said last week the Democrats had kind of paused their calls to get rid of him in the wake of a Trump's assassination attempt, but clearly that's not stood out. Obviously, at the minute.
How can no president who has already been elected by all the different delegates preparing to go to the Democrat convention in August on Twitter suddenly tweets out a thing going, without endorsing Kamala Harris, going, yeah, you know, I've served the people, I've been a great president, bye. That's just absurd. I mean, it's like an advert for X, as Elon Musk has been crowing about. Why is X the main way that news is now sent out around the world? All the journalists are told nothing. And even Jill Biden, who has been de facto president for, say, the past couple of years, who knows, she then just puts a heart on it afterwards. And then there's a rushed message later going, yeah, and I endorse Kamala. And now they're going to change the whole Democrat convention rules because they are obligated legally to say Biden is the candidate at the convention unless there's a change of rules, because that's what their obligation as electors at the Democrat convention have to say. Is it in Chicago? I don't know.
Well, look, it's just the way of the modern world to announce your news on social media. I mean, he's a young, hip guy, so he's in with the trends, maybe not so much as you, Afshin, if you're not the sort of person who would do that.
It must be really bad, clearly, that he has.
I don't know, but obviously he's nominated Kamala Harris to be his successor, which is kind of odd because we know Kamala Harris isn't hugely popular. I think she's never rated particularly well in the polls.
She's accused of executing African-American prisoners in order to get into power when she was an official in California. Isn't she? But presumably Monday, 22nd of July, she will be there with Netanyahu in the White House. I mean, she's certainly going to be in the White House. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, this is the crazy thing. So Biden possibly making a speech on Monday to the American people about why he stepped down, while Israel's Netanyahu is arriving for this big week, and he's kind of walking into this disaster zone.
And sirens are going off in Gaza. As I speak, sirens are going off in Gaza, where we have to remind the medical journal, The Lancet, says the equivalent killing is 27 million Americans, mostly women and children, killed by weaponry, because 186,000 in Gaza. And it's the anniversary, Monday, July the 22nd, when British soldiers were murdered by Zionist terrorists at the King David Hotel in Jerusalem. What a day for Netanyahu to be at the White House in the first place. Nothing from Britain about the way this is being handled, the anniversary of the mass murder of British soldiers in 1946. Anyway, I think most Americans would be more interested in the Trump assassination attempt, U.S. Secret Service director at the House.
Oh, yeah, the hearing. Who we mentioned last week, Kimberly Cheadle, isn't it? She's been subpoenaed to speak at this U.S. hearing on Monday.
Because she's a collaborator in the assassination attempt. That's what it looks like. But well, most of the American people are going to be thinking. Very suspicious.
She'd obviously deny that and say they did everything they could to help him. Obviously, it has come out in the last few days that the Secret Service denied requests by Trump to have extra help from the Secret Service. So some eyebrows are being raised, although they have said that statement is false, and requests weren't denied, and any requests that were denied, which I think they do admit, say aren't applicable to the day of his assassination attempt, which was the 13th of July.
What does that mean? I mean, I know RFK Jr., who's running, whose dad was killed, assassinated, and his uncle was assassinated, JFK. He definitely said that they wouldn't give security to his presidential campaign, and this was a Biden decision.
Yeah, that's true, but I think that was due to the fact that Trump had it because he's a former US president, and all former US presidents get eligibility to have the Secret Service. But obviously RFK Jr. has now got it, I think, thanks to Biden.
But only rubbish security they're eligible for.
Rubbish security. I mean, well, the Secret Service would say, though, they did save him in that they got to him in the end, albeit they, you know, there were many measures they missed out on. But they're going to answer for it on Monday, so we'll see what she says.
She'll be called on to resign, clearly. She's not going to get an easy ride at the House.
No, well, the US House Speaker Mike Johnson has called on Biden to fire her. And don't forget as well, one person was actually killed in this, so it's not just about Trump's protection, but there is a man who died, as well as obviously
firefighter.
The gunman. Like 50-year-old Pennsylvanian firefighter man, I believe it was.
And let's not forget how many millions have been killed in Syria, which is being discussed in the UN Security Council after the bombing attacks by Britain, France, and the United States. And over years now, the United States has been sanctioning, along with NATO countries, Syria to starve the children of Syria. I wonder whether anyone will care about the people of Syria at the UN Security Council. Of course, Britain won't, nor will the United States. Or they'll say, we're giving humanitarian aid while sanctioning Syria for no other purpose but to help ISIS-Daesh, it seems.
Yeah, and of course, Syria often discussed at the UN Security Council. It doesn't get a lot of coverage. But there is, as well, on Monday, going to be a EU Foreign Affairs Council meeting discussing Ukraine and the Middle East. Although the Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba will be there, though no known Russia counterpart is going to be there. Always a Ukrainian representative, never anyone else.
They must be scared, though, the Ukrainians, after what we've been hearing from the Republican National Convention in the past few days about the fact that there's no more money for Ukraine, no more money for this war after Trump wins the election.
Although Trump he met with Zelensky, didn't he, in the last few years, or spoke to Zelensky.
On the phone.
Spoke to him on the phone and seemed to have a decent chat. So who knows whether Trump's going to end up changing his mind if he becomes president. And
one of these ludicrous
Zelensky, I don't know.
One of these ludicrous Trump officials, H.R. McMaster, is at the Hudson Institute, the right-wing institute funded by weapons companies, at 10 in the morning on 1201 Pennsylvania Avenue. He was Donald Trump's national security advisor. Deterring an Axis of Aggressors is the name of it. So I think these are previous Trump officials that are not in the Trump circle anymore. But then I could be wrong, because why was Mike Pompeo, former head of the CIA, who advocated for the assassination of Julian Assange, why was he speaking at the RNC convention, speaking up for Trump, along with Nikki Haley, who wants bombs on Russia? Doesn't she?
Yeah, well, also someone who has spoken to Trump, though, Viktor Orban, Hungary's prime minister, who at this EU foreign affairs meeting on Monday, it said that some member states and the European Commission may be boycotting this meeting because of Viktor Orban's recent visit to Moscow, where he spoke to Putin, Hungary, which is currently chairing the European Council. So kind of some friction.
Where is this European meeting on Monday?
It's just going to be in Brussels.
Because Meloni and European Council President Antonio Costa, don't even understand, they're just vassals of the US, is meeting in Rome. And of course, Meloni disappointed all her supporters in Italy by just becoming a vassal of the United States, despite lots of talk earlier about wanting to do something different. And it's the anniversary 80 years ago of the Bretton Woods Conference. What a day for that.
Yeah. Why don't you just tell us what that is?
I thought you were going to do that, actually.
You tell me. Is that Monday? Ah, yes, that is Monday, 80th anniversary. Of course, that's what that kind of created the IMF and the World Bank, didn't it? That was when the World War II allies kind of got together and decided on monetary regulation for the international
countries into accepting the US empire by a method of loans from the IMF, gruesome loan payment terms on countries across Africa and the global south. And they were threatened by the IMF then. And unless they would stop healthcare and public provision of social services, these countries were destroyed by the IMF in terms of interest payments. It's a terrible anniversary, the 80 years since Bretton Woods conference, because it means and commemorates the murder of tens of millions, hundreds of millions because of IMF World Bank policy. And how ironic, it's on the same day as the WTO General Council meeting in Geneva, the WTO destroyed now by the US sanctions on a third of humanity used as a weapon. So WTO, the World Trade Organization, is dead because technically all these sanctions are against their rules, I would say. You know, for me, Monday, 22nd July is important because it's the day after, in 2012, I learned of Alexander Coburn's death, the greatest, perhaps one of the greatest journalists of the 20th century and a mentor to me, and founder of Counterpunch. Counterpunch, not as good now, I would say, arguably.
Although you mentioned IMF, World Bank, WTO there, to play devil's advocate, they would say they are helping countries and they help bring countries out of despair and economic hardship, they would say. Of course, that's on Monday. As well, we've got Monday, starting on Monday until Tuesday, the RUSI Land Warfare Conference.
What's RUSI?
That's the Royal United Service. The Royal United Services Institute.
MI6, James Bond, MI6 think tank funded by weapons companies.
Okay. Or as they would say, the Royal United Service Institute, just
Royal. Top. What's royal about it?
Don't know what's royal about it, but the new UK Defence Secretary is going to be there. That's going to be his debut at this big event. John Healey.
I've met that man, John Healey.
Have you? What did you make of him?
Complete, utter genuflector to Washington Power. Thinks he's really doing good. Who's he meeting anyway at RUSI? This
he's
John
Healey. He's going to be meeting none other than the Ukrainian ambassador to the UK, Valery Zeluzhny. That's what I was saying.
He used to be chief of the failing army in Ukraine. The proxy, Washington's proxy army, Zeluzhny.
Okay, well, they're going to be having a chat anyway.
Is Valery Zeluzhny at 4:45 p.m. British summer time at RUSI in Church House, Great Smith Street, Westminster, SW1P3NZ. How safe is this man?
How safe is he? Clearly very safe, because he's with the UK, who are his best friends.
He's safer than Jean-Charles de Menezes, the Brazilian electrician who was murdered by British security forces, the British Metropolitan Police, Scotland Yard, in 2005 on July the 22nd. And it was, of course, Sir Keir Starmer, John Healey, that defense secretary, meeting Zeluzhny's boss, Sir Keir Starmer, who's in charge of the Crown Prosecution Service, who said, we mustn't prosecute the police who shot dead this innocent Brazilian man. And the undercover policing inquiry is on Monday, July the 22nd.
In the UK?
Yeah. This is about the fact that the police are... They are doing undercover operations against all opposition groups. Lindsay German from Stop the War has been bugged. It's part of the Sir John Mitting inquiry, where British Secret Service, James Bond type MI6 people were sleeping with women under the guise of being protesters and dissidents, but actually they were British Secret Service people. I mean, that is what happens in Britain to people in dissent. They're either banned from speaking out, their groups are infiltrated by secret police, or if you're just completely innocent, you're just shot dead and no one is brought to justice.
Okay. Well, I didn't know we cared about the UK so much on this channel. At least we're free to speak.
You're going to Rio, aren't you? I'm not free to speak in Britain. Rio, are you going to talk about Rio instead?
What's happening in Rio?
That's the start of the G20 Development Ministers meeting.
I think that's much later in the week, isn't it?
Monday, July 22nd, G20 Task Force for the Establishment of a Global Alliance Against Hunger and Poverty. There won't be any news about that in NATO nation media. Much more interest in the continued bombing. I'm getting all sorts of, while I'm speaking to you, Millie, I'm getting all sorts of horrific pictures from Gaza, from the British-American EU-backed bombing of the under-siege Gaza Strip. So I don't think it's even a good day to talk about Pi Approximation Day, 22 over 7.
July. Okay. Well, what I think is quite important, on Monday until Friday, Taiwan, which is holding a week-long annual military exercise, which is designed to simulate a Chinese invasion. So they're preparing for a potential attack. The first one under the new Taiwanese president, Lai Ching-te. Don't know how China's going to react to this. I think they say it's going to annoy China quite a lot, but it seems that the status quo to be doing this yearly. And then, of course, we've got the Heritage Foundation, which is a completely different thing. The research and education think tank in Washington, D.C. The newly elected UK MP, Nigel Farage, is going to be speaking there. Our international audience, you may have heard of him through the Brexit campaign, which was big in the UK a few years back. He's going to be speaking at a special event called the Popular Sovereignty, the US-UK Special Relationship in the Age of Trump, Farage and Brexit. And it questions what led to over 4 million people voting for Farage's Reform Party in the latest UK election, kind of as though they've both been elected president and prime minister in the age of Farage and Trump. Weird there.
Philippines President's State of the Nation address. Philippines has become a complete colony of the United States, has allowed US bases, military bases back in. That, of course, also relates to what you're saying about China. I was going to say that later in the week, because Monday is getting too busy now, isn't it?
We have a busy Monday.
What's this on Mondays? Google co-founder Brin backs biotech tapping psychedelic shrub for remedies. That's the kind of idea in NATO nations now, psychedelic shrubs. Because what they got? They got the wrong candidate, according to the elites in NATO countries, that Trump is going to win, maybe.
Okay. Well, I think on Trump, we better move on to Tuesday. You just say Monday,
July the 23rd, subscribe.
Monday's a busy day. Subscribe. Obviously, Tuesday, the Trump assassination attempt hearing continues, but it's the House Committee on Homeland Security this time. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, FBI Director Christopher Wray, Secret Service Director, again, Kimberly Cheetle, have all been invited.
The FBI hates Trump. How are they going to investigate? They're going to investigate why Trump wasn't killed.
Well, no, it's not investigated. They're going to testify, or they've at least been invited to testify at this one. So we should hear more about what really happened later on in the week. There are actually quite a few US committee hearings on Tuesday. I'm not going to name them all, but we've got Energy and Commerce's Subcommittee on Health holding a hearing entitled RCDC's Priorities Restoring Public Trust and Improving the Health of the American People. We've got a Federal Bureau of Prisons Oversight hearing. One called Examining the State of Rail Safety in the Aftermath of the Derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, that is. And one called The Great Firewall and the CCP's Export of its Techno-Authoritarian Surveillance State. And that's on the China's Communist Party and the United States' relationship to it. So we can see what agendas are particularly pressing for the United States on Tuesday. Threats by China. Clearly.
Wait a minute. Edward Snowden said there's mass surveillance by the Five Eyes, Australia, Britain, the United States, etc., of all American citizens. And they're talking about the Great Firewall of China. What on earth is that about?
Exactly.
I was going to mention, it's all week, your Hang Kwang 40 military drills where Taiwan is going to simulate an attack by China, isn't it? It's all week.
All week, yeah. Monday till Friday.
Yeah, but Tuesday, July 23rd is the 1921 anniversary of the establishment of the founding National Congress of the Communist Party of China. Not a good day, is it, to do that?
To do the drills and to be having this hearing in the United States.
Yeah, the CDC thing is, all these names, Jennifer Layden, head of surveillance in public health data, and Health Promotion Karen Hacker, and there's all these names. Let's just hope, and zoonotic diseases. None of them are going to go, oh, it was the US laboratory in Wuhan, which the Chinese somehow allowed, presaged the COVID epidemic, which killed 60 million people all around the world. And a big day for corporate results on Tuesday, July the 23rd. Tesla, that's Elon Musk, Google Alphabet, Spotify, General Motors, Comcast, they own Sky News, Mattel, toy company, Visa, Texas Instruments, Lockheed Martin, the makers of the weapons that are killing children in Gaza, LVMH, the brands, Louis Vuitton, all those designer goods that are worn by those who make money out of the shares in the defense companies.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Lockheed Martin. I just want to say that obviously they're doing very well at the minute, of course, arms company. I think
not as well as I thought they were going to be doing. Not when we're telling people to invest in arms companies on Forecast News.
No, but I think that the first quarter of the year it was $2 billion more dollars in than the previous year that they got in net sales, so $17.2 billion in total, I think. But I think that the CEO, Jim Taslitz, said to that, he said, "Our strong start to 2024 demonstrates our continued success designing, developing, and delivering 21st century security solutions in support of integrated deterrence for customers around the world." And he said these results reinforce their confidence to achieve the full year financial expectations they set in January. So clearly they're doing very well off everything at the minute. So congrats, good work.
Every time Russia destroys all these Lockheed Martin components are in there, as well as Lockheed Martin instruments of death, they have to make new orders of them. So it's win-win, but not for the babies having their heads sliced off in Gaza so disgustingly. And of course, Yemen, which has been attacking Israel over Gaza. Saudi Arabia very quick to say, we don't agree with the Israeli bombing of Yemen, which has happened in the past few days. Saudi Arabia, UAE, where we're speaking to you from, want peace and want some sort of negotiations. That hasn't stopped Britain, the United States, the European Union, armed Israel bombing the poorest country in the Middle East, Yemen, in the past few days. It's going to be discussed in the UN Security Council under the Russian presidency on July 23rd.
Yep. And of course, we missed as well, there's a conference hearing in the case of Trump's former advisor, Steve Bannon, former advisor when he was in the White House. And he's been accused of fraud over alleged misuse of funds when they were building the big construction of the border wall. He's currently actually serving a 4-month prison sentence for defying a subpoena to testify at the House Select Committee. I guess that's why Kimberly Cheatham of the Secret Service has gone, because she otherwise would have got the 4-month prison sentence. But yeah, it was a Select Committee investigating into the Capitol Hill riot. So he's in prison for that, and now there's these alleged fraud case.
Trump still wants to build the wall, doesn't he? And it's like people go under walls. Walls are useless. But it's seen as a political persecution of Steve Bannon. I notice in the Sulzberger family newspaper, the New York Times, are words from Steve Bannon, American carnage, because it was, of course, Steve Bannon at the inauguration speech of Trump, who said, "We've got to do something about the working classes of the United States who live amidst the American carnage caused by globalization and the end of jobs in the Midwest." What did he get for that? A prison sentence on trumped up charges, according to Donald Trump. He'll be released, obviously, the moment that Donald Trump is elected, or does he have to take office before he's released?
I was going to say, I'm sure Trump will pardon him straight away, as with many. As well, we've got Tuesday until Wednesday. I know you like your sports, Afshin. There's an International Olympic Committee session in Paris where they'll gather for the 142nd time at the IOC. They're going to announce the host of the 26 Winter Olympics in 2030 and 2034. I think it's already been said, though, 2030, it's going to be the French Alps. 2034 in Salt Lake City, we can expect the Winter Olympics. Don't know if you watch it.
Salt Lake City.
As much as you watch the football.
It's a hot desert area, isn't it? I mean, it's highly politicized. Israel are allowed to compete under the Israeli flag, even while committing what the international courts consider, alleged genocide and the settlements. There was another ICJ, one of these idiotic courts, were finally saying, oh, apparently breaking UN Security Council resolutions is illegal. Who knew? I think the Olympics, Russian athletes, they can't compete under the Russian flag. So that's what the International Olympic Committee stands for, an organization that de facto backed the 2014 coup in Kiev, that backed the NATO provocations in eastern Ukraine, the genocide of the Russian language. Is that what the International Olympics stand for? Look at Wimbledon, tennis tournament, no Russian flags. UNICEF in Naples, though. Did you see that?
No.
Tuesday, you're obviously not invited. The summer gala party for UNICEF. So while UNICEF is obviously doing valuable work for children being slaughtered in Gaza, presumably, they're having a summer gala in Capri, off the coast of Naples, beautiful island.
Capri again, where they were. Who was it? Was it in Capri a few weeks ago where we mentioned?
There was a power cut recently. Anyway, Sean Penn, Zelensky's friend Sean Penn, who favors the ending of the Russian language, the boycotting of Russian authors, of Russian ballet stars, of Russian novels, it would seem, and certainly the backing to the hilt of Zelensky with way more money than even Biden was prepared to give and Kamala Harris was prepared to give to Kiev. Sean Penn, Casey Affleck, who's that?
He's an actor, isn't he?
And a performance by Kate Hudson. So if you care about peace, boycott Sean Penn, Casey Affleck, and Kate Hudson, who will be attending the UNICEF Summer Gala Party on July the 23rd in Capri. Get down there and demonstrate if you want peace, some might say.
Yeah, but demonstrate peacefully, of course, if you're going to. We're not.
Always peacefully. Same at the Rusi Land Warfare Conference, which is in day two, with the Chief of the General Staff, Sir Roly Walker.
Well, shall we move to Wednesday?
We better.
Better move on. Where Netanyahu...
Wait, Millie. Wednesday, July the 24th. Subscribe, you mean?
Subscribe. Of course, the date will be on the screen. Those who want specifics.
All right, okay.
But, yeah, please do subscribe. Netanyahu is finally due to address the US Congress as part of his visit to Washington, D.C. I think large protests are actually expected outside the Capitol building where he'll be. And actually, all week that he's there, I think there's going to be protests. So a very warm welcome to Netanyahu from the American people, clearly. And again, as we said, kind of awkward. We don't even know if Biden is maybe going to resign this week as president. There have been calls for him to step down, I think, at least from at the time of this recording, from some Republican party members. So a very awkward week for Netanyahu to be there. And when he's going to be probably very, very unpopular. In the United
States. Saw the alleged war criminal taking off from Tel Aviv, saying it'll be important nevertheless, because he can say to Biden what a great friend of Israel he has been. Obviously, Biden being accused of being basically an Israeli-backed prostitute. He's funded by the Israeli lobby money to the hilt, and he just does whatever he's told by Tel Aviv, a foreign government, not in the interests of the American people at all. The American people, according to polls, want a ceasefire, 60%. Obviously, Netanyahu doesn't want a ceasefire. He desperately wants the war to go on before he goes to prison, not for genocide, not for being a war criminal, but for being corrupt to his core, according to the Israeli courts. And how ironic that while a war criminal, alleged war criminal, people can comment down below what they think of Netanyahu, addresses other alleged war criminals in Congress who are basically also accused of being prostitutes to their funders. The UN Security Council under the Russian presidency will be discussing Israel, Lebanon, and who knows whether whether there will be war with Lebanon, wider war. Yemen has vowed to attack Israel. Hezbollah vowing to attack south, so Yemen north. It's not a great day for Israel. It's not a great time to be a Jew in Israel, is it? It's the worst place to be Jewish on earth, arguably.
Potentially going to be a frightening week as well, but you mentioned corruption. Of course, Netanyahu is still facing corruption charges and a corruption trial, which the media seems to forget about these days. But as well, as he speaks to the US Congress, an annual report is being released by the European Commission on the rule of law. So over in Europe, this is going to be focusing particularly on anti-corruption, judicial systems and media pluralism.
In the European Union, they don't have media pluralism in the EU, do they? It's all owned by oligarchs, and anything they don't agree with.
The funny thing is, last year's report, so they have a report every year, they found strong concerns regarding the rule of law in Poland and Hungary. Hungary currently very unpopular with the EU, Viktor Orban, because of his discussions with Putin. The report last year had said these two countries continue to lack judicial independence and a healthy media environment, while local civil society faces consistent threats and remains under attack. Even though slow progress has been noted in areas where the EU has threatened to freeze funds, there is concern those changes are only cosmetic and will not be thoroughly followed through in action. So, really attacking Hungary in this.
Who are these unelected
friends with Putin, seemingly so. And I'm sure we'll see more of the same in this year's report, don't you
think? That's Wednesday.
That's Wednesday, this report's coming out.
Of course, Europe has no right, Western Europe, EU nations have no right to talk about media freedom. They are totalitarian states where anything against the proxy war on Russia through Ukraine is not allowed, is illegal. Rumble, the video platform, is banned in France. They're not free countries. They're totalitarian countries.
Well, I think France would say Rumble actually decided not to be up and running in France, didn't they? Because France wouldn't agree to certain things.
France said, you have to ban certain videos. And Rumble said, no, our service is for freedom of the press. And France said, well, you have to. And Rumble said, we won't, so we're withdrawing from, yeah, exactly. So it basically proof, though, that the French Republic is not a free place at all. I just noticed it's been updated. Ukraine's foreign minister is fleeing to France to see Wang Yi on July the 23rd.
Ah, to France, as we were just talking about.
Sorry, did I say France?
Yeah.
I meant the Ukrainian foreign minister, Kuteba, is visiting China.
Oh, China. Okay, well, that's very different.
I think I'm having a Biden moment. That's what's going on.
To every week. Afshin, I'm worried.
Yeah, Democratic National Convention, secured area announced this week in Chicago. What does that mean? The U.S. Secret Service is going to detail the boundaries around the United Center and McCormick Place, intended to protect the 50,000 guests, delegates, and officials for the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. So get yourself down there if you want to save the lives of Democrat politicians.
Okay. Right? Oh, I also mentioned Ukraine and China. We didn't mention that UK Foreign Secretary David Lammy is in India this week as well. Just as a side note, he's going to be there all week. But also in Asia on Wednesday.
That's Lammy who went, first of all, to Israel, though.
He was in Israel.
Becoming Foreign Secretary. He's a black Foreign Secretary from Britain. First person of color, I think, to be Foreign Secretary. He's a complete servant and slave of Washington. He was educated in the United States, and he does not. You'd expect for a British foreign secretary, arguably. He does what the Americans tell him to do and what the Israelis want to tell him to, because he's funded by a man called Trevor Chin, who those who support Palestine say has bought this first person of color foreign secretary. Okay. Democratic Republic of Congo President Felix Tshisekedi visiting Brookings Institution on July 24th, speaking at 10 o'clock. He's a slave of the IMF. Congo. Okay.
Well, I was just going to mention when we mentioned China, kind of in the Asia region, the Thai Constitutional Court, that there's a hearing on the removal of the Prime Minister Streta Thavisin. Now, there's 40 senators who alleged that the Prime Minister violated the Constitution when he appointed this Pichit Shenbun as a cabinet minister who had previously served a prison sentence for trying to bribe Supreme Court officials. So he's currently sort of facing trial there. And if the court finds that he breached these rules, then he's going to be deposed as prime minister before September. A decision's likely. Although Thailand isn't one of the many countries this year that having an election this year. They've got to wait till 2027, but they're just posing their prime minister anyway. So more corruption in Asia as well.
I do think there is corruption in Thailand, and I think the NATO countries are deliberately trying to destroy Thailand's reputation, because Thailand refused to sign the communique at the absurd Swiss conference on Ukraine as regards the Washington war and Russia through Ukraine, the proxy war. A lot of people in NATO countries are unhappy with Thailand because it is repositioning itself with BRICS and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. You'll see much more about corruption in Thailand as Thailand refuses to bow down to Washington empire and hegemony. And what a great day. The 24th of July is Simon Bolivar Day, the day to celebrate Simon Bolivar, the liberator of Ecuador, Venezuela, Colombia, and Bolivia. Be celebrated in all those countries fighting with every last breath the people in Ecuador, because Ecuador is a CIA base now, but certainly Venezuela, Colombia, and Bolivia fighting to preserve their independence and sovereignty against Washington and all those oligarch companies desperate for their minerals.
Okay. Well, I just want to quickly mention before we move on, there's also going to be a UN report on the state of food security and nutrition in the world. Now, in last year's report, highlighted the number of people facing hunger worldwide has increased by over 122 million since 2019 because of the pandemic, weather changes, conflicts, and it includes the war in Ukraine as a reason for this. 2.4 billion people didn't have consistent access to nutritious, safe, and sufficient food in 2022. Child malnutrition is still high. In South Asia, where 1.4 billion people live, that records the highest number of people who can't afford a healthy diet, 72% of them. And they say by 2050, 70% of the global population will live in cities, apparently. And it said the significant demographic shift necessitates a reorientation of food systems to cater to those new urban populations and eradicate hunger, food insecurity, and malnutrition, which apparently they'll get if they move to cities. That was last year's report, so God knows what it's going to say.
Who funds these people? This sounds like they're going to fund...
The UN.
Yeah, reports. A lot of these big seed companies have infiltrated the UN, and they kind of say, yeah, so we have to expand all this food creation using chemicals and technologies. Of course, there's enough food already for everyone to eat. It's just being destroyed or given too much to... those who already have too much food, arguably. And how ironic that on Bolivar Day at 10 o'clock in the morning, the House has a committee hearing on Latin America titled Latin America Forgotten, a look at President Biden's 2025 budget priorities. Biden has clearly, like every U.S. president, tried to destroy the lives, arguably, of every citizen in Latin America. They try and overthrow governments that are democratically elected, which want to serve their people and do not want to serve the politicians and oligarchs of Washington. Maybe he took his eye off the ball a little, the Biden administration, to allow places like Colombia and others to do what their people voted their politicians to do. They're clearly already saying they want to overthrow Maduro again in Venezuela, the election coming up.
The
NATO proxy newspaper saying game is up for Maduro. He's finished again. This is, of course, a paper like all NATO papers that said Maduro was finished because they were backing the destruction of democracy in Venezuela and in all these countries that oppose Washington policy. U.S. aid, acting assistant administrator for Latin America and the Caribbean, it doesn't have a name. We'll be speaking at that House hearing on arguably trying to destroy democracy in Latin America the same day that General Dynamics, the arms company, issues results, and IBM, also related to the U.S. arms industry, also publishes financial results.
Okay, well, we'll get back to
that. Do you have any more on General Dynamics like you did on Lockheed Martin? It's rather suspiciously. You're investing in these companies.
Only Lockheed Martin.
Well, you can see on TikTok or social platforms what General Dynamics and Lockheed Martin have achieved in Gaza every other minute.
Yeah, clearly very good things, according to the company stats. We'll get to Latin America later in the week, as we said, but Thursday...
Yeah, you forget the Paraguayan Fiesta de San Francisco Solana.
What is that?
Let's go to Thursday.
Let's go to Thursday.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Okay, Thursday, it's the 57th ASEAN Foreign Ministers meeting in Laos. ASEAN is the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, and the meeting will include foreign ministers from Brunei, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam. But it's also going to include meetings with non-members, including from China, the US, Russia, India, Japan, Korea, Australia, the EU, and the UK, which is good that they're all going to be together, Russia, US, China, all in the same room. This is good news for diplomacy. I think as well, the organization is looking to strike a trade pact with the Gulf Cooperation Council to kind of boost trade outside that Southern Asian region. But this is good, isn't it? This meeting on Thursday, surely?
It's amazing that it's going to be in Vientiane in Laos. Laos, of course, was bombed by Henry Kissinger when Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State. The United States destroyed that country as part of its operation to murder 6 million in Indochina, maybe estimates, in Vietnam, Cambodia and Laos, creating the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia and so on. So it's great. Yeah. But can the European Union and Britain be trusted partners there? Japan is a proxy for the United States. Korea, they mean South Korea. North Korea isn't invited to the ASEAN. Why is North Korea not invited to it? I think a lot of these countries, and the Philippines, of course, is a proxy for the United States, as is Singapore, as is Brunei. So it's very interesting as the different countries jockey for favor from arguably the new leaders of the 21st century, which are not the United States or NATO countries. But, you know, all these countries learned a lot, I think, when in 2010, on July 25th, WikiLeaks published the largest classified documents, one of the largest classified document dumps in history. What these ASEAN countries desperately need is WikiLeaks documents on what the United States is really thinking about their leaders, which, of course, they did have from diplomatic cables, which showed the double-handedness, the betrayal of what they were saying at conferences like ASEAN underneath it, what the United States was actually trying to do to these countries.
Okay. Well, including that trade meeting there, we've also got the G20 on Thursday. Employment ministers, finance ministers, the central bank chiefs are meeting in Rio. As you said, they started earlier in the week. This is on Thursday. Until Friday, they're going to be meeting. The state of the G20 right now is not particularly
good. It's better than the G7.
What you were just saying?
Better than the G7? Yeah, I wonder whether these NATO members of G20 should be thrown out for their part in the genocide in Gaza. That's what some people might be wondering. Why are countries like Britain allowed in the G20 if they're involved in genocide or alleged genocide by international courts, say the United States? So I think in Rio, it's up to Lula to consider this. But of course, they're very diplomatic, aren't they? I've spoken to Lula. They're very diplomatic, trying to still give the United States, NATO countries arming the genocide, the leeway of behaving as if they were normal countries. But yeah, Infant mortality statistics come out on the 25th of July. I wonder whether all those G20 finance ministers will be saying to the United States, why are so many people dying at childbirth in the United States, let alone why are 40 million people not have enough to eat without help, but the United States can pour billions of dollars into Kiev and into Netanyahu's government to kill people, even though the world is more dangerous than ever. The UN Security Council, 10 o'clock in the morning on 25th July, threats to international peace and security to be discussed.
Yep. As suggested by Russia, obviously currently a president of the council, but arguably a bigger event, bigger than those, the other old money meetings, is the Bitcoin 2024 conference at the Music City Center in Nashville, which is quite big. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to be speaking there. Edward Snowden is scheduled to speak from Russia, as is Donald Trump, I think, later in the week. It starts on Thursday. It finishes on Saturday. And Trump, who said in June, Bitcoin is our last line of defense against a central bank digital currency. So who knows what he's going to do with Bitcoin when and if he becomes president in November. You a Bitcoin fan, Afshin? Cryptocurrency, well, that's the way forward, isn't it?
Since the assassination attempt on Trump, Bitcoin has boomed, as have all the altcoins, Ethereum and other coins. And actually, the Biden administration did a great deal, along with the NATO vassal states of Britain and the European Union, to help Bitcoin, because they've enacted sanctions on countries they don't agree with. Not only do they censor the media, ban news from the global south coming into the European Union, the totalitarian states of the European Union and NATO, they ban their money and they ban transactions. So, of course, Bitcoin, Ethereum, all the cryptocurrency ecosystem has greatly benefited by Antony Blinken and Sullivan and Biden's destruction of the financial system. So the great, great future for cryptocurrency, avoiding the central banks and avoiding the lies told to us to create and provoke wars like that in Ukraine or in Gaza, surely.
Well, you mentioned Gaza very quickly on Thursday. There's going to be a talk on Thursday, either in Doha or Cairo. It's not been decided yet as of us recording this. An Israeli negotiation team is going to be sent to either of those, I think to again try and map out terms for a ceasefire. In Gaza, there's been pressure on Netanyahu to try and announce some kind of deal before his Wednesday.
It doesn't really matter, does it, Millie? The war would just stop if Britain stopped giving the weapons, if the United States stopped giving the weapons, if Germany, France, if these powers stopped giving the weapons, the war would be over. So I don't see the point of peace negotiations as long as the weapons are being sold. Do you? What's the point?
Although I suppose that's less likely to happen than a diplomatic negotiation. Anyway, or the fighting will just continue on later down the line.
This is why Macron,
more permanent is better.
Macron's holding a reception for leaders, these world leaders, in Paris for the Olympic Games, while Macron is funding the genocide, so the Palestinians would have it. And US GDP figures, quarter two first release figures, which the markets will be watching for on Thursday, July 25th, because GDP in the United States will have received a boost from every head of every baby beheaded and sliced off by an American weapon, because it helps US GDP.
Okay, well, on that note, let's move to
Friday. Oh, and I should just say, Thursday 25th, more corporate results. AstraZeneca making money out of medicines. Roche, another big medicine company involved famously in scandals in the 1970s over whistleblowers. Total Energies, which has been accused of being involved in the Syrian occupation, illegal U.S. occupation of a third of Syria. Anglo-American, the miners company involved in, so they say, human rights abuses and all the rest of it. And Global South countries are getting together against it. Nissan, Renault, Dow. Is Dow the same... Dow is involved in Bhopal? No, they change their names all the time. Nestle, makers of Nespresso coffee, but also involved in their share of scandals they deny as regards poisoning of people in developing world countries.
Okay, I don't know why you're being so negative about your sponsors, Afshin. You're meant to kind of big them up. You're trying to advertise them, like, not bring them down. You're doing it wrong. Anyway, Friday.
Puerto Rico Day on Thursday, but Puerto Rico isn't a country either and only important for West Side Story. So, hello, Puerto Rico, in your Constitution Day.
Okay. All right. Friday then. At The Hague, it's the...
Subscribe. Friday the 26th. And I can't believe on the 26th of July, you're not going to say this before you say what you're just about to say.
What? Oh, go on. I'm intrigued now.
You know, if the revolution in Cuba ever ended, everyone in the world who wanted a better world would think, you know, we're going to lose. The fact that the revolution, the Cuban revolution, exists today and celebrates again the 26th of July movement, the day of the failed attack by Fidel Castro in 1953, the fact that Cuba is still there, punching, fighting the sanctions of the United States, fighting and being able to help liberation movements, whether they were against apartheid South Africa, whether they were the Palestinians, whether they were medicine all over the global South. The fact Cuba exists despite NATO countries, the Washington consensus, Washington Empire trying to destroy it all these years after the revolution is a beacon of hope for the world. So say Cuban apologists.
Okay. What's this Cuban Revolution Day on Friday?
Yeah, it's a huge day because it celebrates when Castro was captured. It was a failed attack with hardly any people. So convinced was he that the people of Cuba wanted to overthrow the hated American-backed Batista fascist regime in Havana. And he gave his History Will Absolve Me speech at his trial. And the 26th of July marks the day of an unsuccessful attack on the Montada barracks and the beginning of the Cuban Revolution.
Okay, well, congratulations to Cuba on your Revolution Day. I'm sure a day of celebrations and joy.
Although Trump's people want to kill Cuban leaders, don't they? Is Marco Rubio on his side, Trump's side? Anyway.
Probably something for later months, I think. We'll see what unfolds there. But Friday, I was going to mention, at The Hague, it's the deadline for the UK to file a document to the ICC as it's challenging the arrest warrant issued to Netanyahu and Israel's defense minister.
Wait, Millie, what? Britain is challenging the...
Yeah, the UK is challenging the arrest warrant issued to Netanyahu. So, and they're going to file a document. So the ICC chief, prosecutor Karim Khan, as we know, he sought the arrest warrants for Netanyahu and the leaders of Hamas. The ICC still has to approve that request. But this challenge by the UK is said to delay this approval. Although it said that Keir Starmer is going to drop this challenge ahead of the deadline. Which is weird. I don't know why he would do that. Why he would want to drop
so it was
the
under
challenge.
The Tories. This is because the Tories were going to do it. Why is Britain involving itself in trying to save the Israelis? Because
save the day. But then why Starmer, who's a supporter of Israel and a supporter of Netanyahu, now wants him to be arrested?
I mean, the fact we're even talking about it shows there is no democracy in Britain. Obviously, most people didn't want Keir Starmer to be prime minister, and yet he's become prime minister. And he himself only got there because his support by the Israeli lobby, who got rid of Corbyn, who won more of a share of the vote than Sir Keir Starmer, but somehow didn't become prime minister. And the point is that Israel is controlling the body politic of Britain. It's not Britain. Britain is torn between the United States and Israel and bans and censors and persecutes anyone who will not support those lines. So the idea of Britain trying to challenge the ICC arrest warrant in effect on behalf of Netanyahu, a corrupt criminal as seen by many Israelis, well, I think I'd rather look to hopeful things away from that Hague, Netherlands case to Niger, really. 1 year ago, the great coup in Niger against Western-backed, NATO-backed oppressors. Niger, of course, a source of uranium for nuclear bombs, as well as for medicine and scanners. No longer under French colonialism, but for a new world. And this is when the Niger president, Bazoum, hated a proxy of NATO, was thrown out in 2023 for General Abdurrahman Tchiani, whose speeches are amazing. Have you heard them? They're censored in NATO countries, though, because Africa must be only there for animal documentaries, not for liberation movements that change the world.
And no elections in Niger this year, are there?
In Niger? I suppose there will be, but they have to fend off lots of covert special forces from NATO countries trying to, as they have done for hundreds of years, try to immiserate the people of Africa and use it as just a source of cheap minerals to fund their economies and power their economies while they keep their population starving with proxy puppet leaders. So goes the accusation, the ASEAN foreign ministerial on July 26th.
The what?
In Vientiane. Meetings with non-members. You mentioned it, but it's actually happening on the Friday. And of course, Russian Minister Foreign Lavrov will meet with Antony Blinken on the sidelines in Vientiane, Laos, and comment about the polluted subsoil because of American chemical weapons used against Laos. Is that going to be the chit-chat canopy?
Well, I only hope it's a good day for diplomacy that they're all going to be meeting. I know I always say that, and it never seems to work out that way, but
I don't think David, the British person of color, foreign secretary, I keep mentioning his color because people of color usually in Britain, like who is the first woman MP, Diane Abbott, are persecuted there, but they're okay and allowed to get to positions like foreign secretary if they are slaves of Washington. So goes the accusation. But I don't think he'll be shaking hands with Lavrov. Britain completely lockstep, more lockstep than Blinken is over the war, which looks like it's going to end in a few months' time. Who knows? In Europe, in the heart of Europe, where hundreds of thousands have been killed.
Well, I wonder, though, what the Chinese and US representatives are going to be saying, though, to each other on that day, because on Friday as well, there's a briefing by the US Justice Department, which is due in this challenge brought by TikTok and its Chinese owner, ByteDance, against this US legislation that basically requires the company to divest from TikTok or get banned by the US, basically. And that basically means the US is saying to TikTok that app stores wouldn't be allowed to distribute or maintain or update TikTok unless its owner sold TikTok to a buyer that the US would deem acceptable. I think the arguments for that are scheduled for the 16th of September and a decision should be made before December. So this is just steps for the US to potentially ban TikTok because it doesn't like that it's owned by a Chinese company. So maybe that's what they're going to be talking about. I don't know.
I said this last week. I mean, I know some people are saying TikTok is doing a valuable service in exposing the slaughter and the scale of the genocide perpetrated by British, EU and US weapons in mass killing of civilians in Gaza. But I got banned. You know, I keep getting banned. If someone wants to subscribe me on TikTok, because every time I get this permanently banned thing, now, if you want to subscribe, subscribe to me at Afshin460. So I've gone from Afshin Ratansi to Afshin.Ratansi to Afshin2002 to Afshin300. I'm Afshin460 now before this one's banned. And I'm not even putting anything up, not even putting up the gruesome pictures of the babies slaughtered by British missiles in Gaza. I'm just putting up, I just put up something about Kamala Harris laughing. What's wrong with that?
Is 460 the number of times you've had to make a new account?
I have six followers now. I had like a million views on TikTok, and now I have six followers and two following, 74 likes.
Okay. Well, subscribe to this channel, and that's where you can support Afshin.
Harry Truman in 1947 on July 26th signed the National Security Act, creating the CIA, the Pentagon, the U.S. Air Force, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the U.S. National Security Council. What a day in 1947. Because people can look up what the CIA did to so many people all around the world. But then again, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, former White House Press Secretary, is at Farnborough Air Show in Hampshire, where weapons that are used on Gaza and against Russia through Ukraine are on show.
In a tiny little town in England. I live near there, in Farnborough. Anyway, shall we move to Saturday?
Oh, because Liberia Day isn't important to you. Most ships in the world registered under Liberia, which clearly has not followed the West African liberation struggle in recent months that has been so successful. But more importantly, in 1944, on July 26th, the Red Army entered Lvov, the major city in Western Ukraine, capturing it from the Nazis. But of course, the Nazis who were killed by the Red Army in Lvov, liberating it, their insignia is now on the insignia of the Banderaites of Zelensky. And it was terrible in 1944. Only 300 Jews were found to have survived out of a population of 160,000 Jews in Lvov prior to the Nazi occupation. Stepan Bandera, there's statues of him everywhere in Ukraine today. And you'll hear people talk pro-Bandera in NATO capitals today, forgetting the Jews.
He's there now. Well, people can look into their history and you can make up your own mind on these events. But I'm more interested in Saturday.
Not Stanley Kubrick's birthday. Dr. Strange. No,
I think I'm more interested in Saturday on North Korea Victory Day. celebrating subscribe celebrating the end of the Korean War in 1953. It's called the Victory in the Fatherland Liberation War. There's usually celebrations, parties, rallies condemning U.S. imperialism on this North Korea Victory Day. And that's as well as the U.S. and South Korea have been holding joint military drills ahead of this anniversary, which has been condemned by those in North Korea. Why are they doing that ahead of Victory Day in North Korea? Are they trying to send some kind of message?
Well, we've got to remember what the North Korean victory was. Britain and the United States together murdered 20% of the entire population of Korea. That's a lot of people. You know, when will the day come that there will be a war, perish the thought, of the 20% of the United States or 20% of Britain would be wiped out, you know, perhaps in some sort of tactical nuclear strike? Is that how it's going to happen? Certainly, as Trump looks set to win the elections in November, the threat of nuclear war arguably has receded, because with Biden, Blinken, Sullivan, and a vassal totalitarian Western Europe, it looked at times this year to be on the cusp of nuclear war, as Britain would announce, fine, send the Storm Shadow missiles in deep into Russia, we allow it. At least Biden didn't allow that before the end of his presidency, or whatever. Was Biden ever in charge? I never know what to say about Biden now. Trump, anyway, Saturday.
Yeah. Although we of course, don't know what Trump will do. I mean, he nearly started a war with Iran. He's, you know, never been a huge fan of China. We don't exactly know what...
He has forces behind him that want war on Iran and war on China from the off, which would equally kick off World War III, wouldn't it?
Yeah, just kind of, it's different states, but the same story.
They call it uniparty in alternative US media, don't they?
Yeah. But Saturday as well, Saturday until the following Friday, Bulgaria is hosting the 61st session of the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Last time it was here in Dubai.
It was in Dubai. The last one, but climate, which has really kind of been overshadowed in recent months, hasn't it? Because of arguably more pressing things with the wars, and people aren't worrying so much. Although, you know, even as these kind of warring factions, if you like, which, you know, the US, which is getting heat waves, Russia, which is, you know, getting wildfires, torrential rain in China, all these countries being affected quite heavily by the climate, but it's not really top of the agenda at the moment.
Nuclear war, threat of world nuclear war is far worse.
Arguably more important.
And anything to do with the environment, because of this Biden legacy of destruction, of appalling diplomatic world staging. And just goes to show how the IPCC is no longer as important. And it's the anniversary on the 27th of 5,000 military advisors sent to South Vietnam, Martyrs and Wounded Soldiers Day in Vietnam. The memory of all these U.S. wars, and now the expansion of the war against Russia through Ukraine in the dying days of this Democrat administration. That's why the IPCC is just no longer as important.
Yeah. Although the IPCC, I think there was a scientist the other day who does say we need to let go of the climate of the past. So those worrying about the climate anyway, they're saying we've just got to accept the new normal. Which is really good news, isn't it?
You've got investments in loads of green technology companies like Bill Gates and all the rest of it. Better finish up. Sunday the 28th, there's so much happening. Yeah. The Venezuelan presidential election. Subscribe. Hugo Chavez was born in 1954 on July the 28th. What a day for Maduro, Nicolás Maduro, to win the presidential elections despite the sanctions and the onslaught of chaos unleashed by Britain, the United States, and the European Union against the country with the world's largest known oil reserves. Britain, of course, still thinks that some person teaching terrorism in Miami, Juan Guaido, is the president of Venezuela. Doesn't even recognize Maduro, as far as I understand it.
Well, this is the funny thing, though. Juan Guaido, who Trump said was president several years ago, he has kind of fallen off the face of the earth. He was kicked out of his own party, what, a year or two ago, and now there's been no mention of him since. I don't think the US and the UK and And the new CIA candidate
is Edmundo Gonzalez. He's the new CIA guy, I think.
Yeah, something like that. But I don't know. Maduro is probably going to win again. It's looking like.
Wait, you never know.
We don't know. That's my prediction. This is going to be my prediction for next week. Though I think the US and the EU have always rejected the election results of Venezuela. And I suppose they're right to. As we know, they have a history of US interference in these elections. At least there are certainly strong allegations of it. So we'll see what happens there. But as well, on Sunday, it's the day of the Russian Navy. Always celebrated on the last Sunday of July. Putin usually attends a parade in St. Petersburg. I feel there's been a lot of celebratory days in Russia in recent weeks, hasn't there? I feel like we've been winning the war.
Well, you wouldn't know it from looking at, you know, Comcast Sky News and Discovery Channel CNN, which has been laying off people, I noticed.
No, you wouldn't think they have a lot to celebrate. We've got Peru Independence Day as well, national holidays.
You didn't care about the Maldives on the 27th, on the Saturday, even though we're on Sunday now, did you? Independence from Britain in 1965.
From who?
Peru is fine.
The Maldives?
Yeah, that was on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Sunday is Peru then.
Okay, yeah. Well, congratulations to both those countries and in their independence. And then we've got Iran as well. I think they've got a ceremony on Sunday.
Chinese.
Ceremony with the new president-elect.
Pezeshkin.
Yes. And the supreme leader, who I know you like to call the supreme leader.
No, because he's not the supreme leader in Iran. He's completely accountable to the Assembly of Experts. They call him the supreme leader to create in the minds of NATO countries the idea that Iran is some sort of dictatorship and no one in Iran has any say in how they are governed, which is a lie. That's the case, arguably, in Britain, where Israel and the United States control policy. So you can't nationalize things like the post office or nationalize things like your oil industry or have an independent foreign policy.
Okay. Well, I'm sure someone disagree on that. Tell us in the comments what you think. And on all of these events, I think we better finish up here.
We better finish. Maximilien Robespierre and Antoine de Saint-Just, the great French revolutionaries, were executed in Paris in 1794, arguably setting France on a course for where it is today, a course of being a dying empire of colonialism. It's a totalitarian state, but who knows where Jean-Luc Mélenchon is going with that. It's in 1915, the U.S. began a 19-year occupation of Haiti. Some say the U.S. has never left. Who will be mentioning Obama's destruction of democracy in Haiti as he decides on who should be the acting president of the United States de facto without any democratic credentials of his own.
Okay. Well, on that note, I think we better leave it there. Thank you for watching or listening. As always, we're available.
Notifications on.
Turn the notifications on. Subscribe. Like, leave a comment. We love to hear what you have to say. Let us know what you think of these events. You can listen or watch on all the podcasting platforms. We're always available. Let us know what you think, as I say, and we'll see you next Monday. Bye for now.